Hello and a very warm welcome to Central Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, today we're going to talk about Crimea and the referendum. We know that an overwhelming majority of Crimeans voted to join Russia. So that was probably expected, but the turnout was really very high. Now, the question that everybody's asking is what's next for Crimea and beyond? Welcome back. Now, today I'm delighted to be joined by two established experts. Now, here in this studio, I've got the pleasure of being joined by a well-established and professional journalist. Mr. Hamid Golpira, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Thanks
very much
for being
here.
Thanks. Now, let me just tell you that Hamid Golpira is a senior editor, columnist, and reporter of the Tehran Times. His articles really stand out, some of which have been translated into languages. Various enough, including German and Russian. Now, via Skype from Toronto, Canada, we're pleased to be joined by an established political analyst, Professor Hushang Hassanyari. It's a pleasure to have you with us. I think we have a bit of a problem. Right, we have Professor Hushang Hassanyari. I hope you can hear us, Professor. Right, so it seems that we have a bit of a problem probably Professor Hassanyari cannot hear us. So let me just tell you that Professor Hassanyari is Professor of Politics and Special Assistant to the Principal for National and International Liaison, Royal Military College of Canada. Time for a short break.
According to Russia Today Network, 96.77% of the Crimean population voted for integration of the region into the Russian Federation. The turnout was a massive 83.1%. Head of the Crimean Parliament's Commission on the Referendum, Mikhail Malyshev, said on Monday, the referendum saw a massive turnout with 81.3% of the eligible voting population participating. Crimea's Prime Minister Sergei Aksyonov told Interfax that next week, Crimea will officially introduce the ruble as a second official currency along with Ukrainian hryvnia. The dual currency is to be established in about 6 months. He added, quote, overall, the Republic's integration into Russia will take up to a year. However, it wants to maintain relations with economic entities, including Ukraine, rather than burn bridges. Following the referendum, Crimea declared independence from Ukraine and formally applied to join Russia. The Crimean Supreme Council passed the decree on Monday after all the 85 lawmakers present in the 100-seat assembly voted in support of seceding from Ukraine. The decree read, quote, the Supreme Council of the Autonomous Republic of Crimea declares Crimea an independent sovereign state, the Republic of Crimea. The decree read, adding, the Republic of Crimea applies to the Russian Federation to accept the Republic of Crimea as a member of the Russian Federation. The Republic of Crimea appeals to the United Nations and to all countries of the world to recognize it as an independent state, the decree read. In another front, the legitimacy of the Crimean referendum has turned to a highly controversial issue. Russian President Vladimir Putin believes the referendum in Crimea was fully consistent with international law and UN Charter, while President Obama says the United States and the international community will never recognize the results of the referendum administered under threats of violence and intimidation. Irrespective of which side we take, one thing is utterly clear. The Crimean crisis may have repercussions far beyond its borders.
Hello again and welcome back. Now, according to RT Russia Today, 96.77% of the Crimean population voted for integration of the region into the Russian Federation. Now, the turnout was 83.1%. Professor Asanyari, this should mean that some Ukrainians and also Muslim Tatars also voted to join Russia.
It depends. It depends if you believe the figures coming from this so-called government in Crimea and also the Russians. So I believe we have to be extremely cautious when we talk about the statistics that they are giving about the percentage of turnover. Those people who voted in favor, and we can discuss. The issue of questions themselves, but I would be extremely cautious when I read the information about the people who voted in favor or those who participated in this exercise.
All right, great. Thank you very much indeed. Now, Hamid, we know that there are some observers also observing those, the referendum. And we know that about 60% of Crimea are Russian, from Russian origins. Mm-hmm. So how can this figure fit into the whole picture? 83% turnout and 96.7%, almost 7%.
Well, yeah, it does seem, yes. It doesn't exactly match, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that every single ethnic Russian would vote for separation from Ukraine and whatever, merging with Russia, or necessarily every single Muslim Tatar or every single Ukrainian would vote to stay, that there might be some crossover on those things.
But you know, Muslim Tatars, they probably didn't have a good relationship with Russia because of Stalin,
and
they didn't also have a very good relationship with the Ukrainian government. So, yeah. but probably they favored the Ukrainian government because of what happened, history.
They might
to
be,
them.
Feel, I don't know how, what's their exact thing on their recent, their attitude to how they've been treated recently, but it doesn't seem they've been treated terribly recently, so that they might be a little bit wary, I suppose, of any kind of union with Russia.
Right.
So that would be a problem. And probably most of the ethnic Ukrainians would also, vote this way, or okay. vote in favor of Ukraine. So
probably they didn't participate.
Many didn't vote also. There was some boycott of the election too, that you see some people didn't vote. So maybe the numbers would have been different if some of those people who didn't vote did vote.
So probably the turnout is 83%, but it's about 100% when it comes to Russians.
It might be. I don't know the exact figure. The ethnic Russians might have had a high turnout, but that missing 17% could change the vote to, at least somewhat. Although, like I say, maybe the numbers are not exactly as they're saying it, but still at the same rate. Though the people who didn't vote, if they had voted, the numbers would be somewhat different.
Okay. Great, thanks very much indeed for that. Now, we know that on Saturday, Russia wielded its veto power as a permanent member of the UN Security Council against the US draft resolution that declared Sunday's Crimea referendum invalid. Now, we know that 13 out of the 15 Security Council members backed the resolution, but China abstained. And it's interesting to just quote Hamid, what US ambassador to the UN said, Ambassador Samantha Power. She actually said, quote, "There isn't only one country voted no today, is that the world believes that international borders are more than mere suggestions." On the other hand, Russian Ambassador Vitaly Cherkin, he argued that Crimean citizens had a right to self-determination. So what's your take on that?
Well, you see, these borders have changed a lot over the years, even over the last, say, century or one and a half centuries. You see, like, before World War One, you had like much of Eastern Europe was Austria, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Turkish Ottoman Empire, and the Russian Empire. And then like developments happened, and over the last couple of hundred years, Greece became independent. It says Serbia became independent. Mm-hmm. And then later you had, after World War One, you had these several mm-hmm. states becoming independent, the breakup of Ottoman Empire and so forth. And then you had World War II happen also, that you saw that, like, you see that the shifting of the borders of Poland, what is today's right. far western Ukraine mm-hmm. was eastern Poland just, you know,
so
just some years ago.
It was a gift to them, wasn't it? I mean, back 40 years ago. And that's Putin saying it was a mistake.
Historical mistake. But that was also when it was all historic. Part of the Soviet yes. Union. And before that, it was all part of the Russian Empire. Right. So if the subdivision of Ukraine within the Russian Empire and later within the Soviet Union, it was more like changing the border. They considered it changing the borders of a province or a local state as opposed to like an independent state. Okay. So that kind of, you also had that kind of border shift where you see it with the problems with this with Azerbaijan and right. And mm-hmm. Armenia, that Nagorno-Karabakh, that border was changed, but it was considered like an internal border. They were not foreseeing that these would later become okay. independent states.
Great, thank you very much, Hamid, for that. Now, we actually know that President Obama and his team have repeatedly and loudly warned Vladimir Putin that unless Russia backs down, the US, in conjunction with its European partners, will begin to increase the costs for the Russian government and business community through a series of sanctions and other tactics. Professor Hassanyari, what does he mean by other tactics, do you think?
I think the American choices and the European choices are extremely limited. Nobody believes that Putin is ready to go as far as he did. The problem is that the Americans...
They cannot really enter into war with the Russians for the obvious reasons. We are talking about nuclear capability and ultimately the end of the world, you can say, if ever we get to that point. But the problem is, maybe more importantly than what President Obama is talking about, is the fact that now that in the context of San Francisco Charter of the UN after 45, we are talking about the borders established not only in Europe but all over the world. And if the Russians can, by force, change this dynamic and create situation that existed before, meaning that the borders are not stable and any power can force its neighbors to concede some of their territory. So that is not going to be limited to Crimea or east of Ukraine, but also it could go as far as, let's say, to the borders of Poland and Central Asia is going to be treated threatened, because we are talking about Kazakhstan and others, the same thing about Caucasus. So Obama is basically, his hands are tight. He cannot do much. But the problem is, again, you discussed earlier the question of the resolution. The only country that voted against was Russia. So it shows very clearly that there is a consensus, international consensus, about the sensibility of the borders and the fact that the borders should not be altered unilaterally. And I insist on the word unilateral decision. So in that sense, maybe Obama and others cannot do much. But the problem is that Russia pretends to be a great power, and the great powers have great responsibilities. The behavior of President Putin in the past few weeks show very clearly that he lacks a lot of judgment and he lacks leadership, because even before the referendum, it was clear that Russia is aiming really at taking Crimea, by if not by force, by other means. And the other means is this question of referendum. On the 11th of March, the new government established itself by taking power in the Crimea. They mentioned very clearly that they are going to ask Russians to be accepted, to accept them. So it means that the whole issue of referendum and then Putin's diplomatic maneuver and the rest of the events were really irrelevant because the decisions was already made. And the main question now is, so what about other people who didn't want to join Russia? The second point is, if you can take cut a portion of a territory where a majority of, in this case, Russians exist, are present, so what is going to happen to the other situations in other countries? And we can imagine, for example, in the case of not too far from Iran with the Kurdish territory in in Iraq, the Iranian, let's say, Baluchistan, and so forth. So when you open these can of worms, you cannot really close it, and the situation, the question goes really beyond what is happening now in Crimea. It could happen. We already see the nervousness in other countries in the neighborhood, Moldova, Poland, Bulgaria, but also the rest of the region, and ultimately we can say the rest of the world, because the borders are, almost all the borders are imposed some one way or the other.
Okay.
And if you open this possibility of changing the border, but whatever means, except the democratic, really, decision made by the people, and in this case, I would argue that, that's not what happened, then you will leave a very anarchic situation all over the world, and consequently, we will be in a permanent state of war.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about some other aspects of the historic referendum in Crimea and its impact. So please do stay with Centre Stage. Hello again. Now, talks between US Secretary John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, as well as telephone conversations between the leaders of the two countries, ended in disagreement. Now, European nations and the United States have already announced some targeted punishments against Russian officials and have threatened that they could get worse if Crimea's de facto annex goes through. Having said that, you know, Hamid, one interesting point is that Kerry was referring to Russia's legitimate concerns in Crimea, and I think he mentioned it a number of times when, you know, he was talking about the meeting he had with the Russian foreign minister. So what do you think he actually means by, you know, Crimea's by Russia's legitimate concerns?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I mean, as far as I know, there wasn't some kind of extreme persecution of ethnic Russians in Crimea. So, like, it's not like something like that was happening right before. Although, like I said, they did have a naval base there. It used to be part of, like I said, it used to be part of the Russian Empire. It was part of the Soviet Union. They feel they want, like, this kind of fleet on the Black Sea. It's a strategic point that they always had, but they had a deal with Ukraine that this their fleet would be there, so there wasn't so much a problem with that, and it wasn't like that deal was going to fall through anytime soon, despite the problems. This is a kind of a surprise move here, that, like, with this changing of the borders and brinksmanship on the part of Russia. But when we talk about this border change, like I say, you have had these several border changes over the last 120, 200 years or so. You know, even since the beginning of the 20th century, like I say, in Europe, you have the World War I changes, you have the post-World War II changes, you have the breakup of the Soviet Union and the Soviet bloc, the Eastern Bloc changes, the breakup of Yugoslavia, They were a lot more relatively orderly. The breakup of, let's say, Czechoslovakia into Czech Republic and Slovakia. So all of these things have happened, but maybe you could say there's some unfinished business with how the Soviet Union broke up. That you have this, you know, like Abkhazia region. You have South Ossetia. You have all these various things. And the next thing you're going to see in the news probably is talking about Russian. Ethnic Russians in certain places, Transdniestria, which has been for some years and years a part of Moldova, which has a large percentage of Russians, and they have been, or the local people there, it is across the Dniester river, Transdniestria, have been calling for some kind of merger with Russia.
And of course, concerns also in Estonia, Latvia.
Yeah, but they don't have as many as large a ethnic Russian population, but Kazakhstan does have, or in certain parts of Kazakhstan. So I could see Moldova with the Transdniestria region and Kazakhstan being more worried than some other places that might be 2 or 5% Russian. That's not such a big deal. But Transdniestria seems to be majority Russian. There's a large amount of Russians in Kazakhstan, much more than some of the other republics.
Thank you very much.
Soviet republics.
Thanks, Hamid. Now, we actually know that Estonia claims that, quote, deeper Ukraine invasion lurks in Putin's warnings, end quote. So Professor Asanyari is referring to Putin's warning that Ukraine's government has lost control of the country. So I think most probably they feel concerned. What's your reading into this? Are these concerns justified?
I believe so. I was in Estonia last year, and they have a sizable Russian ethnic group, and they are extremely worried about the situation. Because, again, it seems that this issue that was created in the 50s by Stalin, displacing millions of people from all over the Soviet Union, is not finished with the implosion of the Soviet Union. So when we talk about Crimea, we have to remember and recognize what happened really during the 50s. In the 17th, 18th century, the majority of the population in that part of the world was Muslim Tatar. Then later on, when the Soviet Union came about, they were displaced. They were sent to Central Asia, and obviously that creates a lot of problem for them, because about more than 40% of them will die in this displacement of hunger, of sickness, and other problems. So now, with this situation created in the 50s, this displacement of people and then populate those regions that we are talking about here by Russians, that is extremely handy now for Putin and his government. So I understand the anxiety in Estonia, in Moldova, as my colleague mentioned, and in other parts of the former Soviet Union. Because, again, when Putin is talking about the necessity for the Russian to protect the Russian-speaking people, it goes really beyond any kind of logic and rationale, because, again, Russian-speaking Ukrainians are Ukrainians. They are speaking Russian, or they were formerly Russian. It doesn't mean really that Russia has a right to go in that country to cut.
If I may come in here, you mentioned protecting Russian citizens, Russians of Ukrainians of Russian ethnicity. So, what do you think is meant by protecting those those Ukrainians of Russian origin? Do they need protection?
Very hard really to understand. I believe my colleague mentioned earlier that as far as we know, there was no maltreatment of the Ukrainian Russians. Nobody really harmed them, nobody attacked them, and their rights were not violated by the majority Ukrainians in Ukraine in general, including in Crimea. So I would argue that with this kind of behavior coming from the Moscow, they create even more problems for Russian-speaking people, ethnic groups in other countries, and that creates a lot of anxiety among not only the majority but also the minority, because the minority is expecting now to be maltreated by the majority, and the majority is extremely uncertain about its future, because Russia, with this precedent, can decide to go into any of those countries under the pretext that the Russian minority has been maltreated by those governments. But the problem is, for this argument of Russia, that if they are not happy with this situation, and it goes back a bit to your previous question about John Kerry's understanding of the Russian concern, is if there is any problem with the minority, so the Russian government can talk to the sovereign government, the government of the sovereign states, and raise those questions.
Okay, but Professor,
by going and cutting territory, that creates problems.
Right, but Professor, you know, the thing is that according to the Crimean authorities, about 135 registered international observers arrived, and they arrived from 23 different countries, including Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, France, Germany, and a number of other countries. We know that actually they're calling it, the Europeans, the West is calling the referendum illegal, illegitimate. So if really that's the case, and they've condemned Sunday's referendum in Crimea as illegitimate, and they're preparing sanctions against Russia, and they've announced already some sanctions against some of the advisors of President Putin. The question now is, if the referendum was illegal, why did the West send monitors?
It's a good question, but it doesn't really address the real issue. Europeans normally they send observers all over the world. They want to see what's going on. When they are there, it doesn't mean that they are condoning the exercise of this referendum and so forth. What's important is really that if we look at the issue precisely, everything is flooded really in this fraudulent activity, because again, when a territory is taken by force, we know that there is a military intervention. You cannot talk about any action, any kind of legitimacy in this action of Russia. Again. It was possible, like probably we are going to talk about other examples, like the situation in
Kosovo, for example,
the UK, for example. Then we see that there is a process. It takes really a lot of time. First and foremost, Russian Crimeans, they had to discuss the issue with Kiev, with the government established in Kiev, the Ukrainian government, and not to decide unilaterally to this. So this is why I don't really read much about in this the participation of observers from the European countries.
Okay,
they can go, as I said before, they can go anywhere, but it doesn't mean really that they can legitimize a very illegitimate activity.
Thank you very much indeed, Professor, for that. Now let's take a short break. After the break, it will be time for today's Central Stage online search. Hello again and welcome back. Now it's time for today's Central Stage online search, where we go on the internet for you to pick for you what's taken Central Stage online. Now today we'll be looking at six websites. So Hamid, this is the first one, as you can see, and just look at the body language of the two leaders. Of course, it probably belongs to earlier confrontations of the two. This is from a Yahoo News website. interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Great. So, and they had a number of telephone conversations, all of them, I think, in vain. Couldn't come up with any solution. Okay, let's go to our next web page. This is very interesting, isn't it? Russia can turn US to radioactive ash. Oh, sorry, we just lost that. But it was actually the website saying that it was mentioned by one of the Russian journalists. Okay, now we have it. Russia can turn US to radioactive ash, according to Kremlin-backed journalists. I think this is a very provocative statement, isn't it?
Well, it's a very provocative statement. Well, whether they have so many nuclear weapons, which they do, it's not the most correct thing to say, actually.
The thing is that a number of other countries also have nuclear weapons, but probably it's only Russia which can practically, do what the
States has a great amount of nuclear weapons, maybe enough to seriously damage the world, cause what they call that the nuclear winter and so forth. China has a reasonable amount, the numbers of weapons of China and perhaps even France or England, like the nuclear winter would be also a serious thing too. Wouldn't just be like the world destroyed by radiation, but like all of the dust rising up and the smoke and causing a serious climate change.
What is it?
Make that out exactly if that's something.
Looks like a balloon or something, probably carries radioactive. Thank you very much. Let's go to our next web page. This is very interesting, isn't it? Crimea votes to secede from Ukraine as Russian troops keep watch. It's from the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And look at that car, you know, it's a Lada. It's a typical Russian car. We used to have them also in Iran, do you remember? And you can see also the Russian flag. I think it's a very nice picture, isn't it? And
it harkens back to the Soviet era, I must say.
Because I think the new models are more, much more beautiful than this one. But anyway, so it's interesting that the troops in Crimea, they normally don't wear any uniform. So you can't say whether they're Russian or not. I mean, judging by their uniform, because some of them,
forces are
okay. Let's go to our next web page from Press TV. Crimea declares independence from Ukraine, and you see that the majority in Crimea of Russian origin, they're celebrating the independence from Ukraine. Of course, you know that there are a number of other steps to be followed. Most probably, they will be done over the course of the next few days. So let's go to our next web page. This is from RT, and Crimea votes to join Russian Federation. 96.77% say yes. This is a really, it's quite enormous, isn't it? I mean, about 97% say yes. Okay, and you see the jubilations of those who voted yes. Let's go to our last web page. This is from heute.de, the ZDF website, and they say actually that the EU and USA, they are actually imposing sanctions against Russia. And here we see the Russian passport.
That's a Ukrainian one?
It's a Russian passport. I don't know Russian, but I just said.
Either, I'm just trying. Oh, okay.
The picture is exactly that. I think Ukrainian is slightly different. But it shows that they basically, there were some, information coming out that every Crimean who wanted a Russian passport, but given Russian passport before, of course, the referendum, there was some news coming. That's really an interesting picture. Great, thank you very much, Hamid, for that. There's some of the websites that we found quite interesting and want to share with you. Now, some critics say that the referendum offered no option that would maintain Crimea's current status of limited autonomy from the Ukrainian government. The referendum presented Crimean residents with two choices only: whether to secede from Ukraine and join Russia, or effectively become independent. Professor Asenyari, what's your reading into this?
This is a sham, really. If you look at the questions, there is only one answer. They have to answer yes. When they, the first question is clear, going to rejoin Russia, as they said, and become subjects, and that the wording is really revealing, to become subjects of the Russian Federation. So I don't know how they, how lower they can go, really. But the second question makes reference to the 1992 constitution, and that 1992 constitution is interesting because the Crimean people or decision makers during those days, they added a phrase into the constitution, making it absolutely clear that Crimea is part of the of Ukraine, and then that constitution was negotiated and was not really accepted. Even the another constitution that was passed by the Crimean authorities was not accepted by Ukrainian government. So it shows very clearly, really, that those people who organized the whole or created this whole situation, they didn't know what's going on and what they are doing. So you see the level of absence of professionalism, and good politicians normally they organize the referendums in a way that give the people the opportunity to say yes or no to something. But when you don't have the right to say or the possibility to say no to something, it means that you don't have any other choice but to say yes to those two. And what's interesting also in regards to the question was really that whether the people are going to say yes immediately joining Russia or giving the kind of independence to Crimea, and then an independent Crimea will join Russia.
Okay,
in other
Professor.
Words, the result would be the same. And so this is why there is a lot of problems really with the wording of the question.
Right.
Even if we tend to talk about the democratic right of people to exercise their choices.
Okay, Professor, we just have 10 seconds for this last question because I want to put it to both our guests. What do you think is next for Crimea in just 10 seconds?
After me?
So I think that unfortunately we lost Professor Hassanieri.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yes, I'm asking you first. Just 10 seconds, please.
I think the next is going to be the absorption. Russia is going to absorb Crimea. And as French people, they say, appetite comes with eating. So it means that Russia is not going to be to limit its behavior to Crimea, and they will go with other territories.
Great.
In other words, a gradual reconstruction of the Soviet Union that disappeared. As for Crimea, obviously, as we saw in the news, the Russian soldiers are taking over all the installations of Ukrainians. Ukraine is going to withdraw its forces from Crimea. Crimea is going to be annexed by Russians.
Thank you very much indeed. Professor, sorry.
It goes on, and it could get really out of hand.
Okay, thank you very much. Just say, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of Crimea?
I have mixed feelings, uncertainty.
Okay, great. So we can't say for sure. Thank you very much indeed for that. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for the moment. I'd like to thank my top guests. We had Dr. Hushang Hassanieri, Professor of Politics at the Royal Military College of Canada, and Mr. Hamid Golpira, established journalist and top writer working with Tehran Times and Press TV. Thank you very much indeed for coming, for talking to us, and for those insights. Until next week, from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thank you very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much. It's great to have you with us. Thank you.